Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make and enjoy wine, and
cats. We've been meowing a lot for no real reason.
So. Yeah, we're off to a silly start today, like so many other days.
Well, we were chatting because we were just at this conference together that we were on, a Women Leaders in the Wine Industry panel.
We were.
Which was super interesting because it was with the FBI. So,
yeah, the audience was FBI.
Agents, Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
So local, it was the local InfraGuard unit, which is their community liaison. I guess it's important to be connected to the FBI. So I just didn't realize this.
And now we are.
I feel safer.
And this was held at Sonoma State's Wine Business School, which was a lovely place to be. Yeah. You poured some wine, I believe.
Yeah, we did at the end of the day. So this was super interesting because this agent reached out to me a couple months ago. And of course, I thought I was being punked. And so it took me a little while to respond. And then I tracked him down on LinkedIn, which I guess happens a lot to him because people don't believe that someone's actually calling from the FBI.
Yeah.
So he actually shared that in his panel, that people often reach out to him. So he has no social profile, but he's on LinkedIn.
Right.
So he finally responded on LinkedIn and then we connected. And I guess, which makes total sense, that for the FBI and Homeland Security, agriculture is one of their top areas of interest, protection, concern. Clearly, it's our food source. And so they do a lot of work in agriculture. And they were just interested. The Sacramento and San Francisco offices were interested in getting to connect more with leaders in our industry. So we were definitely, I think, the highlight of fun for that day of panels.
We were the lighter programming.
Yeah, there was just, it was intense. A lot on climate and cybersecurity. And so clearly there are a lot of issues, which is not the good stuff.
So how much wine was consumed?
At the end of the day, they were very excited about the wine.
I think so.
They were all waiting. But then a couple of them, because they were still on duty, actually couldn't drink, which was, we sent them bottles home to enjoy later.
Interesting.
I know.
Yeah. Because I was thinking a lot about, you know, there was mention of how they think about, you know, weapons of mass destruction, things like that. And I'm like, I'm so glad that I don't have to think about that every day of my life.
Well, and they said, which I was commenting, like their phones are on 24 hours a day. So I have way better life work balance than I realized.
Yes. Okay. Well, to that end, let's talk about some
Sonoma County wine growers.
Non-cybersecurity, weapons of mass destruction stuff. San Francisco Giants.
Yeah. So we have a lot going on. It's now August, which is really, I mean, we did some stuff with the San Francisco Giants during FanFest and kind of gearing up for the season. But now the season's obviously in full swing. Catch that swing.
We need a snare.
Maybe Michelle can add something in. That's super fun.
Or not.
Okay, fine. So we're doing a number of activations, but coming up, we are activating in the suite level on the 9th, and that is going to be with one of our winery partners, Rombauer, which is great. And then we have two back-to-back evenings that we are activating at Triples Alley. So we're bringing 6 winery partners. There's going to be a panel that Amy G is moderating for us, and Evan Goldstein, their master sommelier, will be on that panel. We will have one of our vintner partners or growers on the panel, and also a retired player, which is kind of fun. So to be announced.
Oh, you don't know which one?
I don't yet.
That was my next question. Which one?
I know. We do not know yet.
So I hope it's Barry Bonds.
That'd be kind of cool. I'm sure he's just waiting to be on the panel with us, so we'll get right on that invite.
There'll be a lot of questions.
There would be a lot of questions, for sure. Yeah, and then we just came off of our grower barbecue, and so, you know, John Deere is a great collaborator with us, and we did do a press release, but some really cool news across the 6 pilot farmers that they're working with on their Smart Apply, which is this LiDAR AI-driven sprayer that really can read the canopy and turns on and off the sprayer as it goes through. So we've been piloting this on 6 ranches. It's been used across 2,200 acres in Sonoma County. And so far, early results show a reduction of almost 30% of spray material, of crop protection material. So it's really, really promising of what technology can do overlaid on some, you know, current equipment. So super exciting results there. That is good stuff, right?
That is really good stuff. Anything else to report on the John Deere partnership? I mean, are you going to keep compiling data as we go forward, or are we sort of done with that
No, so we're going to keep compiling data, obviously, with a sprayer that's reading canopy. It's August, so we're in full mm-hmm. canopy right now as we get close to harvest time here. And so it's not the real results are in the beginning of the season where, you know, the canopy is just starting on the vines. So you can get a lot of benefit of turning the sprayer off between the vines.
Yeah.
Now it's pretty consistent spraying when they do have to apply materials, which also slows down now as we're close to harvest. So I think that's like really good learning early on, but now we're working with them. They have JD Link, which is kind of their technology that gives information from their tractors or trucks back to sort of the main database. So there's a lot of good research still happening and more learning to come on that.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break. Come back on the good stuff.
Sounds good.
We are back on the good stuff, and today our guests are Ed Thralls, General Manager at Dutton Goldfield Winery, and Melissa Stackhouse, winemaker for Dutton Goldfield Winery. We've had a few Dutton people, guests in studio.
Yeah, they're very present in my life, that's for sure. Very, very present.
They just show up sometimes.
They just
and
show
we're
up.
Like, hey,
it's
why don't you
good.
Be on the show?
Yeah, yeah, it's all good.
All right, well, welcome to you both.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, you guys.
But now we got like the A-team in here. Not,
right.
Sorry, Steve. Yeah, because the other people making it all happen at the winery.
Sorry, Steve.
I thought he was the number one sales guy.
Yeah, that what?
Okay.
Don't let it go to his head, okay?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but he's pretty good out there. So we should get to know these folks. What
we should
think?
Get to know these folks. Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, there's so much to talk about with Dutton Goldfield. You're both Ed, you're very new to this brand.
Yes. 8 weeks.
Okay. So extremely new. Melissa, how long have you been with Dutton Goldfield?
I'm going on year three.
Nice.
A little over
okay.
Years.
So mm-hmm. that's, you know, starting to feel comfortable, starting to know the vineyards.
Yeah, it actually feels great. I am so excited I made the course correct that I needed to make at that time in my life, for sure.
Okay, well, maybe that's we should awesome. Talk a little bit about each of your backgrounds to that end. Melissa, before you were here, I mean, we mm-hmm. were talking earlier before air, like, we met when you were at La Crema yeah. many years ago.
Yeah.
You spent some time at Jay.
Yeah, I did. I feel like I've been very blessed in my career, all the renditions where I've worked. But yeah, I mean, I started out in the Napa Valley many, many years ago, went to UC Davis. You know, it's funny, Dan's and my trajectory is very similar. Mm-hmm. We both worked at Mondavi, we both worked at Sparkling Houses, we both worked at La Crema. Mm-hmm. So I've known Dan for quite a while, and it just made a lot of sense. After my time at La Crema for 10 years in Jay, and then having spent the 7 years at Constellation Brands, it just made a lot of sense mm-hmm. for me to come back to my original intent, which was to craft, you know, Russian River Valley Pinot Noir and other Pinot Noirs from coastal areas.
And so Dan is Dan Goldfield, mm-hmm. the second part of Dutton Goldfield.
Yeah.
You both worked at La Crema. Did you ever work together?
No.
Okay.
No, I like to say he's a lot older than I am, or at least 10 years before me.
It's accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Melissa, what got you into wine in the first place?
Oh, man, it was such a circuitous route, you guys, because I grew up in Lansing, Michigan, never partaking.
Hotbed of wine production.
Oh, my gosh, right? I mean, we were milk drinkers, right?
Yeah.
That's
I'm Midwest milk drinker. Yeah. Same. Same.
And then I didn't know what I wanted to do for a long time. I moved to the Pacific Northwest. I spent some time in Bellingham, Washington, just doing a bunch of stuff. You know, I worked at a... Kinko's. I worked at the newspaper.
Wow.
Like, remember back in the days, Kinko's? Worked
yeah.
at a newspaper. I actually drove a motor coach in Alaska for a little
what?
While. Yeah. And then I went off to travel a little bit. I went to New Zealand and worked on organic farms.
Okay.
And so there was about 4 or 5 years of not really knowing what I wanted to do. I was out on Lopez Island one day, one of the San Juan Islands, and I discovered that you could go to school to learn how to make wine. And it was... like an aha moment for me. This was back in 1994, and in 95, I had moved to the Napa Valley and started at UC Davis.
That's incredible.
So asking how you fell in love with wine is, I'm not even the important question, how do you decide that you want to drive a motor coach in Alaska? I think is like the more perplexing.
About the wine.
Yeah, that's the more perplexing question, I think.
And what is a what do you mean by a motor coach?
Like the 40-foot gray line of Alaska motor coach.
Oh my God.
And I was stationed in Skagway and I just gave tours.
Wow.
And yeah.
Do you have the headset? You had to like talk about the tour, or you just drove?
Yeah, and well, yeah, I had to, yeah, I had to talk
do
about
it all.
Give
yeah.
the tours, and the yeah. rub is that I do talk with my hands, so it was like kind of a drag.
I'm like, how many times did you drive off the road?
Like, wow,
it was just one of those, you know, as I was sort of searching what to do. Just one of those summer jobs of like, well, not like I ever wanted to be a motor coach driver, but it was just like one of those really interesting things to do, and got me up to Alaska.
Yeah,
beautiful.
That's super
adventure cool. a little bit.
Yeah. So, do you love moose or not love moose?
I could take them or leave them.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. How many times did they block your bus?
Didn't see many.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Didn't see much wildlife, which was a drag because when you're giving a tour,
that's important.
Everyone really wants to.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, where are the bears?
Yeah.
Where are the... Oh, okay. Fascinating. Yeah. So when you were in New Zealand working on farms, so they had nothing to do with grapes, I take
it? Yeah, I wasn't into grape growing or winemaking just yet. I was working on organic farms, and there's this really great organization called Willing Workers on Organic Farms, and it's a really great way to travel throughout the world.
Yeah.
And you basically have a booklet of farms, and then you call ahead and say, hey, I'm here to work. You work 4 hours a day, and they give you room and board.
Wow.
So it's this really sort of fascinating way to travel.
I'm looking that up right now.
I know.
Yeah, they call it woofing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any in California?
There probably are.
There are,
yeah,
okay, potentially.
I bet so. Yeah. Yeah, it's worldwide.
But that'd be boring if you could go to New Zealand and do this.
No, no, I'm not saying I'm going to do a farm in California. I'm going to, I would go to New Zealand. All right, how about you, Ed? Did you ever drive a motor coach in Alaska?
My story's not as cool as Melissa's.
Can you make something up really fast?
Yeah. I actually can make something up. I'll just tell you, this is one of the things that was actually in my interview. I want to use it, Melissa.
Oh, yeah,
so when, you know, you probably do this, Carissa, when you're in your meetings and your big presentations, it's like, tell me something interesting about you. Everybody always tries to ask that question. What's something that maybe other people don't know about you, right? And so when anybody asks me that question, I always tell them that when I was in high school, I was in a movie called Running on Empty, and I was the starting pitcher in this opening scene and struck out River Phoenix.
Oh,
wow.
Is that why he died?
That's very cool.
No, it was a few years before he died. Yeah.
He got struck by a ball. The hidden truth behind.
He didn't fall into the Viper Club.
Yeah. And so did you have to audition for that? Like, how did that happen?
No, it's one of those where, hey, they called up the local high school team because they were shooting in the town right next to us. And so they called our coach and said, hey, we're doing a baseball scene. Would your team like to be extras in the background for the scene? And it's like, great.
And then, you were the pitcher?
Yeah, so I was starting pitcher that year. And now you don't get to see me as much because they want to, you know, show River Phoenix who's at the plate. So my catcher, my buddy Dennis, is right there in the screen.
Yeah.
But you can kind of see me in the back.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So the lesson is be a catcher if you want to be...
Basically be a catcher, yes, correct.
If you want...
If you ever want to be on film.
If there's the, celebrity batter, I guess.
Right.
So that's my unique thing. But no cool motor coach or anything like that. I would love to do a farm trip like that. That sounds like a lot of fun. But, you know, I did grow up in... move around quite a bit. You know, my dad was in the Navy, so that's kind of my background where I lived on both coasts, born in Virginia, lived in Southern California in Monterey for a while back in the late 70s into the early 80s, and really enjoyed living in California. I remember that as a kid, and I think that's something that kind of stuck with me later in life where I ended up back on the East Coast, eventually coming back here, but we can get into that story in a little bit too.
And school in Florida.
So finished out. My dad finished his career down in South Florida, so I went to high school down there and ended up being a Florida Gator.
Yeah. And so how did you get into wine?
Yeah, it's a little bit more crazy than most people think. It's kind of one of those things. I think the first time I really got the bug, if you will, is I visited Italy when I was... 24, let's say, right? Early 90s. And aging myself now, of course. And went to the Cinque Terre. And, you know, there's five cities along the coast there. They grow grapes along the cliffs down there as well. And Rio Maggiore is one of the five towns, and it happened to be their anniversary of that town. So I just saw how they lined up all these tables. Everybody brought food. They brought their own wines that they made, you know, and you're like, wow, this is pretty cool.
What an amazing community. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I hiked those cliffs with the grapes and all that stuff, and that kind of stuck in my head. But quite frankly, I didn't really make that adjustment till, you know, I want to say the mid-2000s. I was just started learning about wine. Why is it, you know, the way that it is? Mm-hmm. Why is a wine from this place over here different from that place over there? Or, you know, these grapes, you know, Nebbiolo versus Vermentino versus Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of got a little academic about it and started writing about it, and then got myself a certification. I studied it. Got a certification, certified specialist of wine. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was like, this is kind of interesting. I might want to look into maybe doing this at some point in my life. But, you know, I had a pretty decent career in banking software going at that time. But it took the recession to really be that catalyst for me to just pick up one day and leave Atlanta. I was living in Atlanta at that time and drive across the country. Interned at a Pinot house here.
You should have reached out to Melissa. She would have driven you.
I should have. I know. In the motor coach.
To drive you right on in the big bus.
Exactly. I could have used it. Yeah. So, and that's how I did that. That was back in, 2010 I did that.
All right. So the first winery was Flowers?
So actually, I interned with John Holdridge in Healdsburg, right?
Yes.
I had been traveling out here and vacationing and building relationships in the industry, and I was really into Pinot Noir and really enjoyed Russian River Pinot Noir at the time. And he said, you know, if you ever want to get hands-on, just let me know.
Yep.
And so it turned out that the summer of 2010, I was unfortunately, as a part of a recession-related reorganization, ended up without a job, and I called him up. And I said, you know, does that offer still stand? I said, are you sure you want a 40-year-old intern? You know, because usually you want some 20-somethings, you know, where the bones don't break and they can do just about anything.
Right. So. Drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, drink a lot of beer. Well, I still did that.
Yeah. Okay.
I still did that.
Right. You fit in. You fit. Yeah, Holdridge, one of the great characters of our industry for sure. I think since retired or not in the wine industry anymore.
Yeah, I believe I saw, was it last year? He sold his winery. Yeah.
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 Okay.
So I'm just curious, you're a general manager. What does a general manager do in the wine business? What does that fancy title mean?
Yeah, it means a lot of things. It depends on where you are.
Yeah.
It depends also on the size of the winery, I think. I, in my career, I've been lucky enough to work with a lot of smaller wineries, and I've really enjoyed that, quite frankly. I like how smaller organizations are a little bit more flexible, a little bit more agile, right? And I like wearing a few extra hats, you know? So general manager, in this case, in Dunn Goldfield, basically runs the business, you know, right? So it's a business. But like me and Melissa work together. We're partners in this, in which, you know, you've got the sales and marketing business side, and then you've certainly got the production and winemaking side of things. And so a part of that is making sure that we can hopefully create demand, find new wine drinkers, right? Create wonderful hospitality experiences for those folks. And of course, ultimately, get them to enjoy these amazing wines that Melissa and Dan are making.
So talk about the size of Dutton Goldfield. I mean, how many cases are you making usually? How many vineyards do you work with? Like sort of what is the scale of the business?
Yeah, I mean, tonnage-wise, it's relatively small, about 260 tons. Any given year, it could be anywhere between 10, 15,000 cases. And mostly Pinot Noir, Chardonnay from coastal regions, Russian River Valley, Marin,
right,
Anderson Valley, Mendocino, and the coast, the True Sonoma Coast. And it's, you know, all very Spartan classic winemaking, very terroir driven winemaking, all about the vineyards and the coast.
How many of the vineyards are estate, or how much production is sort of estate grown
fruit? Because it's a partnership between Dan and Steve, the majority of the fruit comes from Dutton Vineyards. So mostly Green Valley in the Russian River Valley. Right. And then the balance are those outlying coastal vineyards.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and primarily Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, which are two of my favorites.
Nice.
I spy some over there, Virginie. I don't know if you've seen.
I know. It's kind of not within reach yet.
No,
but
kind
we
of
might change
us.
That it's during the break.
Us. I think we should.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you talk about the grower relation, especially with the Dutton family, like such pioneers, mm-hmm. as we have touched on in mm-hmm. previous episodes. So amazing.
I know. Maybe when we come back from a quick break, we can hear a little bit of the story of just how Dan and Steve maybe met and then kind of where the winery is today and what you're all up to.
Sounds good.
Back on the good stuff. Today, our guests are Ed Thralls, General Manager of Dutton Goldfield Winery, and Melissa Stackhouse, Winemaker of Dutton Gold Winery. And right before the break, we were just teeing up a little bit of the story of Dutton Goldfield, sort of the history, and how Dan and Steve met. And maybe Melissa jumps into that. Ed, I spy you have a corkscrew in your hand. Maybe we could be pulling some Chardonnay for all of us. So take it away, Melissa.
Yeah, so many years ago, actually a little over 25 years ago, Dan sourced fruit from Steve, so they got to know each other really well, and they decided to create a brand together. So Dutton Goldfield, and Dan is generally the winemaker, and Steve's the grape grower.
Yeah, and since I have a lot of personal experience with at least the grower,
yeah. the
disclosure, if you haven't been listening, Steve Dutton is my husband, but I love, because, I mean, I can say this, and you both are part of the organization, so you don't have to say this, but, I mean, there's not a more odd couple really out there in the wine business than Dan Goldfield and Steve Dutton. Even if you just look at them in a picture, you're like, these two things don't necessarily naturally go together, which I think is just such a really cool part of the Dutton Goldfield story that you know, from what Steve and Dan have both shared is just, you know, Dan thought Steve was an incredible farmer and Steve thought Dan was an incredible winemaker. And it was like, why are we doing all this for all these other brands? Let's do something together. And I think just that is part of Sonoma County's DNA, is just really great people working together that kind of find this magic and realize they can create more magic by collaboration. So, and now I want to taste the magic, Ed. So maybe
do the ceremonial.
Pull that cork.
Absolutely. So this here is the 2021 Walker Hill Chardonnay.
One of my faves.
So I'm going to give it the pop.
Oh, yes. Nice. Okay.
Not quite the sparkling.
Not well, the same. Not as much pressure.
But I got tingly and excited in the same manner as I would have.
Just a little more riddling and we'll make it bubbly.
As Ed for sure knows, this is one of my favorite Chardonnays and our house Chardonnay, frankly.
So talk about the vineyard then. It is a Dutton vineyard.
This is, yes, Walker Hill is a Dutton vineyard, and it's up near where Marmar Estate is, I believe. Mm-hmm. And this is actually one of my favorites. I've had quite a few Dutton Goldfield wines. I have been very familiar with the winery and the wines over the years. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, I'm a big Burgundy fan, so mm-hmm. Chardonnay and Pinot. And I will say, though, and I know Steve knows this now, I've shifted. I'm more Chardonnay now.
I know.
I'm a Chardonnay guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to admit it. So,
oh, my gosh. We're going to get you a t-shirt.
Wow. I know, right? So
you heard it here first, everyone. Breaking news.
And so being in the heart of Green Valley and the Russian River Valley, I mean, this is your typical mm-hmm. light mineral, Meyer lemon with a little bit of creme brulee in the mid palate. There as well. It's just delicious. It's just an all-around fantastic Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. From the winemaking perspective, you got anything mm-hmm. you want to add on that?
Yeah, I think it, you know, it has that nice backbone of acidity for sure. And this is an interesting clone called the Raffo clone. Mm. So it's a little bit of more of an obscure clone as well.
So is this one of the first vintages you worked on? Or is this the last
22,
vintage?
22.
22 was the first vintage. Okay, first, so we'll get to taste those wines soon. Yeah. And did I read, did this wine just get some scores from Spectator?
Yes, this one just received, I believe it was a 92 from Wine Spectator. We just got some scores for those who care about the scores, and we got quite a few 92 and 93s across both Pinot and Chardonnay.
And a 92, 93 from Spectator is like a 99 most other places.
It's absolutely true.
You should feel really good about that.
And Virginie has a little bit of practice and knowledge about that.
No, so. I mean, I think I do. I respect their scores because I think I think they do. They do try to be exactly what it is and not inflate for inflation's sake, which is more useful for a consumer and hopefully for a winemaker and winery. But I'm sure that that is not the only thing that is driving you to make these great wines. I mean, Melissa, when you came on at Dutton Goldfield with your previous experience, I mean, were you, what were you hoping to bring? Like, what were you, what could you add to the mix?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think I was looking, like I said, to source fruit from those amazing vineyards.
Yep.
I mean, there aren't two people aside from Dan and Steve that know the Russian River. You know, as they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dan rides his bike all over the Russian River.
Right.
You know, Steve obviously knows his craft. So I was very excited to be able to source fruit from these vineyards. And then just, you know, I've been doing this for about 30 years. So I felt like I could bring some calmness and a little levity to vintages that might be a little extreme. And then hopefully mentor a younger team and then hear from them. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I feel like even though I've been doing this for a while, that I'm still learning. And in my mind, that's a way that we as a winery and a brand can be innovative.
Absolutely.
In a sense, to hear from them too, my young team.
Well, I think it's interesting, Melissa. I mean, most people don't even really think about it outside of our industry, but you've been at it for 30 years, but you've only done it 30 times. Right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's like the thing about wine that is so unique. Yeah. It's, and every year is different with the weather aspect and the farming. So especially a Dutton Goldfield winery that really, like you said, lets the vintage and the vineyards tell their story in the bottle. And so I think to have, I mean, you're never crafting the same product. So even though you've done it now 30 years and 30 times, it's never the same.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what makes it really exciting. And sometimes, you know, challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, there are harvests that are doozies.
Well, and I think you're right, though. The experience is where you learn to listen, not to panic, to make the right decisions. You know, you've had at least enough experience.
You've seen a lot.
You know, some years where you're like, okay, I've seen this before. And
exactly.
This is what
I've seen this heat before. Yeah. I know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I've seen this rain before. I'm going to move and not pretend that I'm going to call a pick perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's graceful.
I mean, you're just making the best decisions. I mean, I think that's agriculture, that's winemaking, that's working with an actual farm product. Mm-hmm.
Are you able to spend as much time in the vineyards as you'd like? Or I know it's always a hard balance, but is that a lot of what you do when you're not in harvest itself?
Most of my time during harvest is definitely in the vineyards.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of my time off harvest is in the winery, tasting, blending. Yeah, which I love too, but I love being in the vineyards the most.
Yeah.
I love walking rows.
That's so awesome.
It's just nothing.
I would too. Yeah.
Like early in the morning, you know, when it's still foggy and cold.
I was going to say Green Valley, you're seeing the fog,
gosh,
I know.
It's so great.
Yeah. What do you think we obviously you're not the farmers, but the fog influence on the grapes, especially known in, you know, the coastal coming into Green Valley, kind of what kind of impact does that have on the grapes and the wine and in your beautiful walks? Mm.
Yeah, I think it really preserves the acidity and it allows for even ripening, you know, and we know those vintages where it doesn't allow for even. Yeah. If there's no fog, for example, 2004, there was no fog. It was 110 degrees for two straight weeks in August. That was one of those vintages where I probably put us a little bit behind the eight ball because I wanted to call every pick perfectly. Mm. I should have just picked.
Yeah.
And that was one of those vintages, you know, we always have a little bit of a Labor Day heat spike. That was one of those vintages I probably would have redone if I could. But, you know.
Yeah.
You only You live and learn.
Oh, absolutely, sure. Which is why wine is such a compelling industry to be in. But what are you seeing for this year, 2024? I mean, what are you observing kind of in the vineyards? And we've had a lot of heat throughout the summer, but what are you seeing?
Yeah, it's looking spectacular, actually. Set very good, so the fruit integrity looks really good. Seasonally, probably pretty normal timing-wise, and by normal, you know, like I said, we get the Labor Day heat spike, and, you know, we're well underway.
Yeah.
Last year, like the last 2 years, were totally different from one another.
Oh, totally.
I mean, we started on August 12 in 2022 and on September 12 in 2023.
I know. Yeah.
So one very early, one very late. It's so funny. I was pivoting off that early vintage when I brought interns in last year. And so I had them for a whole month before we brought fruit in.
Yeah.
And, like, Dan was like, what are you running a summer camp?
You're like, let's go bowling today. Let's go.
You can only clean so many bins
times. Another walk in the vineyard.
Yeah. No, I think you were not alone in that. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Melissa Stackhouse and Ed Thralls from Dutton Goldfield Winery. Back on The Good Stuff with Ed Thralls and Melissa Stackhouse, both from Dutton Goldfield Winery. And we opened a beautiful Chardonnay earlier, but women, men cannot live by Chardonnay alone.
No.
So we also have a Pinot Noir. And I think, Melissa, this is a wine that is very special to you, something that you brought to Dutton Goldfield. So tell us what we're about to open.
Yeah, I was talking.
Or Ed is about to open.
Oh, nice.
Oh, lovely.
Nice.
That was a good one.
Excited again.
We feel so calm when we hear that.
I know.
Yeah, so this is a vineyard that I was able to source through a friend of mine, Scott Zapataki. He used to be my vineyard manager at...
Yeah, I love him.
At Jay. And so he introduced me to McLean Wells. This is Five Wells Pinot Noir. And it's West Sebastopol, so on Bloomfield Road, very cold site, very hilly. So, you know, beautiful red fruit, cranberry, very salivaceous, you know, lower alcohol wine with a little savoriness to it.
Salivaceous.
Beautiful.
I like
I know.
That word.
Salivaceous.
And I was doing just that. Ironically,
that's another T-shirt. We have to.
Oh no! Don't use it. It's got a whole new different meaning.
Okay,
on
never mind.
Urban Dictionary.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
okay.
Well, all the more reason we should sell it.
We just put a glass of wine on it.
Maybe. We digress. So, all right. Do you have some other wines that you are releasing soon that are new to Dutton Goldfield? Anything added to the portfolio?
We do. We have another spectacular new wine from one of the Dutton vineyards. It's called Dutton Snow. So Green Valley, beautiful. Two lovely clones, Calera and 943.
Yeah,
that needs a better name.
Calera,
Calera, and 943.
And then 943. I know all the number clones do not sound sexy at all.
No.
There's like nothing romantic about that.
And so, is the snow part because it gets snow, or is it a family name?
It's a family name.
Okay,
yeah.
If it's a Dutton vineyard, it's either named after the street it's on or the family that originally owned it.
Okay.
There's not a lot
nice.
Of creativity in the marketing, I'll just be honest.
It's a nod to history and heritage,
yeah,
I suppose.
It is.
Yeah. Lovely.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're excited about those wines. And again, the intent is to only create wines that are distinct.
Yeah.
Right. So.
No,
so,
this is beautiful.
So how can people come and taste these wines? How can they visit you?
Yeah. So I think, as Melissa spelled out, we've got a little bit of something for just about anyone who enjoys Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And we even have a couple other wines like a Pinot Blanc, a nice Pinot Rosé.
Yeah, I love that
the
too.
The Morelli Lane Zinfandel, super old vines.
Old vines, yeah.
Delicious. So we've got something for everybody. And you can come visit our tasting room. We're at 3100 North Gravenstein Highway, or I guess it's Gravenstein Highway North. And you can go to duttongoldfield.com to check that out. And we do have a few things that are coming up, actually.
Yeah.
August 10th, we will have Journeyman Meats.
Nice.
There, Pete Segacio's company there. They'll be having a pop-up at Dutton Goldfield. We're also participating in the Gravenstein Apple Fair, which, you know, the Dutton family has been involved with since its inception. So we're always grateful to be a part of that. And
you guys are in like the VIP tent.
We are
that,
in the
right?
VIP tent, correct. So you have to get tickets.
Yeah.
You got to get tickets for that. So it's very special.
And the Gravity Apple Fair is so much fun. Mm-hmm. And I think Michelle, our producer, is going to be out there live on the stage on that Sunday, the 11th.
Oh, yep. Awesome.
I'll be announcing one of the stages. Woo-hoo! Exciting.
There's all Michelle. Right.
Awesome. Okay. And then, of course, we'll have a harvest dinner we're planning for later this year, probably late October. So keep an eye out for that. You can go to the events page, again, duttongoldfield.com.
So do you have to make an appointment? Can you kind of just give a call and stop in?
Great question, and I know you know the answer to this. Yes, we actually are one of the few that you can also walk in. Yeah, reservations are greatly appreciated and recommended, of course. We do have indoor and outdoor seating. We have an awesome patio out there, so when the weather's been really super nice, it's great to sit out there. But, you know, if you just happen to think about it and drive by, most times we can handle it. Come on in.
That's and great. And the tasting room is in the heart of Green Valley,
is it not? Correct.
So it is appropriately located.
Yes, it is.
In the heart of apple and grape country.
Yeah. I'm always like, go get lunch or dinner at Underwood and plan your Dutton Goldfield visit around it so you have like spectacular meal experience. And also you can get a Dutton Goldfield Pinot Noir by the glass at Underwood, and they have been one of the longest restaurant partners for the winery and been pouring their Pinot Noir for a long, long time. Pinot Noir, I should say, for a long, long time. So lots of synergies in West County out there in the town of Greaton.
Of course. Yeah, it's a great community. I mean, that's one thing you asked earlier. That's one thing that I love about being a part of this organization is not just the great wines and Chardon Pinot, but it's really that community. And we've been around, this is year 26. Yeah. We just celebrated 25 years last year. So a great pioneering legacy in the area.
Okay, we will come right back on the good stuff. We are back to wrap things up on the good stuff with our guests Ed Thralls and Melissa Stackhouse. And, you know, we are going to talk about our Tuesday Night Wines.
I know. But we've invited them to stay
for
Tuesday Night Wines.
We wanted them to stay. Yeah.
So our tradition, Ed, Melissa, is on, you know, the whole premise of the show, good stuff, is pulling great bottles out of the cellar. Don't wait to drink the good stuff. So we do our Tuesday Night Wines, and maybe we'll throw it over to both of you. What good stuff do you want to pull out of your cellar this Tuesday night?
Well, you know, Jeff Stewart is my mentor. I worked with him at La Crema. He does an amazing rosé. And I know it's not an old wine.
I agree.
But given how hot it's been, I think a rosé from Hartford.
Well, and my question with rosé is always, does he make magnums?
Can you have friends over when you're drinking this on Tuesday
or
night?
Or not.
Right. Yeah. Or not.
Okay.
Ed, what do you got?
I'll spin off of that, too. So a business mentor, a wine business mentor of mine is Jason Jardine. Mm-hmm. He hired me to run DTC for Flowers way back in the day. That really gave me an opportunity in this industry. And he's now at Hanzel, has been for quite a few years now. And so they have a new line they call Hanzel Farm. Mm-hmm. And a little bit lower price points. He's always kind of changing up what's in there. So I love both the Chardonnay and the Pinot Noir, but Hanzel Farm's one that usually I'll open up during the week for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go old because I have the benefit with Steve of having some incredible older Dutton Goldfield wines. And in fact, we have some 2000s, so literally 24 years old.
Wow.
So I'm going to pull a 2000 Pinot Noir. So I might have to invite all of you over because that's a pretty special bottle of wine. And we should definitely do it on a Tuesday night. So,
I'm there.
What do you got there, Shanae?
I know. Now I'm on the spot. Well, you know, well before we even started today's show, I was thinking how much I've always loved Dutton Goldfield Shop Block Pinot Blanc.
Always.
Love the story of that. But I'm also a longtime fan of Devil's Gulch. Melissa mentioned the Marin County Vineyards. That's kind of the long-standing one, Devil's Gulch.
Pasternak, yeah.
I mean, either of those, but this new Pinot that you were nice enough to bring today, that might be my Tuesday night wine.
Why choose? Let's just open them all.
I'm going to open all of them.
So we're definitely going to have
Tuesday
to get
together. Tuesday night wines, yeah.
So, I mean, I just want to remind everyone, DuttonGoldfield.com.
DuttonGoldfield.com.
So they can go there to make an appointment, sign up for these great events you mentioned, visiting you all at the Gravenstein Apple Fair next weekend, following along on Instagram at Dutton Goldfield Winery. Lots of ways to stay connected. And I know you guys post a lot of great education and videos and pictures of what's happening in the vineyard. So that's a really fun way to follow along on social.
Yes, it is.
Thanks for joining us so much on the Good Stuff Hour today, both Ed and Melissa from Dutton Goldfield Winery. And, you know, Carissa from Sonoma County, to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.